Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Welcome all of you joining us right now on the live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. I just finished welcoming the brothers here and the brothers and sisters here, but I'm going to welcome you all again. Welcome to the house of God. Welcome. It's always great to have unity, to have fellowship with one another. It's always encouraging to see each other here and worshiping and praising God. And I do believe that these church services that are primarily made up of Bible study per se, most of the time, are special services. I truly, truly, truly believe that with all of my heart. Not to say that Sunday morning is not a special service. No, I'm not trying to imply on that at all. But I do believe that the Lord has a special blessing for those who come out and put in that extra effort to be in His house. You know, so, amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Lord, we love You. We love You so much. I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will continue, Lord, to move here in our midst this evening. Thank You, Lord, for already being here. Thank You, Lord, for touching us, ministering to us, Lord. And now I pray that the Holy Spirit will open up the minds and the hearts, Lord, of everyone who is listening to Your word right now. I pray, Lord, that You will soften them. May they be, Lord, receptive to what the Spirit will be ministering to their spirit. And Lord, as I always say, may Your people see and hear You and not me. Lord, we love You. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 How many of us are always inclined, to make a difference? Maybe like a positive difference, right? Making a positive difference, primarily on someone, or if you are fortunate enough to say a group of people, man, that really boosts up your morale, wouldn't you say? That really gets you going. I venture to say that almost everyone do care to make a difference. Almost everyone wishes they could be, let's just say, I'll call it the hero of the story, right? Yes, bro, without you doing that, without you coming through on a clutch, yes, yes, we could have, right? Everybody loves to hear that. I know I do, right, per se, and I'm pretty sure that you do too. And this evening, that's going to be the title to this evening's service, and that is Making a Difference. But I'm going to take a biblical approach. I'm going to take a Christian approach, per se, as far as making a difference. We sometimes feel that we don't seem to make a difference in the lives that we live. Sometimes we feel as though I'm just blah, or I'm just meh, or, you know, this or the other thing. You know, am I really making a difference, a positive difference in my family's life, in my spouse's life, in my co-worker's life, whatever the case might be? But the truth of the matter is that we can make a difference in someone's life. Every single one of us, especially us who are led by the Spirit of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, if you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh. Sometimes I refer to it as you or someone being a wrecking ball. You are a force to be reckoned with when you are led by the Spirit of God. And there isn't anything much better than that. It's as beautiful as it gets. Wouldn't you want to be led by the Spirit of God? All the time? Because you know when that happens, you know you're going to be making a difference. You're going to be making a difference in your ministry, whatever ministry the Lord has called you to do. You're going to be making a difference in your household as being a wife, as being a husband, and everything else in between, right? You are able to do that. Now, often the problem lies in the fact that we are, sometimes we feel as though we are so small in comparison to our atmosphere, in comparison to the world that we live in. And we feel we need to make a much bigger difference than potentially we could imagine. Some people have a strong desire to, let's say, end world hunger, right? Well, that's quite a tall order, right? Just imagine if we could do away with world hunger. If we can say no more children would have to go to sleep hungry, why, we would do almost anything to make that happen, yes? Hunger is quite a real thing. But with this example that I just gave, with such a massive goal, everyone will admit defeat even before they even make an effort at all. When we look at things, when we look at such a lofty goal, such a massive, such a huge goal for us to encounter. Now, we need to make a difference in the world. We need to make that difference. And our world is where we dwell and where we interact with others. You know, I don't know what is happening right now in Brazil. I don't. I know that there's a subscription, a TV subscription, where you can tune into like the Portuguese, the Brazilian news stations, and just about any country almost that you want to tune in, you could pay like a monthly subscription to your cable provider, and you can pay a certain fee to keep up with that nation's, you know, news. You might get one, two, or three news channels. I don't keep up with anywhere outside of the United States. As a matter of fact, I don't even have cable. And most of you might know, I do a terrible job keeping up with local news, right? My world consists of us. My world consists of Owings Mills, of Pikesville. You know, my world consists of Eldersburg, Damascus, maybe Hyattsville, Remington. Yeah, Remington in the house. Yeah. Towson. And then you that's watching right now, I do realize that this has reached out in several, you know, faraway states and even countries. I do know that sometimes people tune in from out of the country to this live stream. Thanks. Praise God. May you hear from the Lord and see Him. But nonetheless, the point that I'm trying to make is this is my world. And you know the world that you live in. And you can make a difference where you are, where you stand. And there are times that the Lord is able to trust us in doing something beyond our reach, beyond our arm's length. And if you are called one day to be a missionary, to go preach somewhere overseas, or even if He moves you into another state to help out, let's say, another ministry, by all means, do it with all of your might. Trust in God. Do it with all your heart, right? Do it by faith and let the Lord take care of the rest. After all, the Lord is in charge. And today we are going to discuss exactly that, and that is the need. There is a need to make a difference. The ability God gives us to make a difference. Every single one of us, He's given you the ability to make a difference in anybody's life. Every single one of us here and us that's watching, and you that's watching right now online. The effort we need to apply to make the difference is one of the things that we're going to cover this evening. And the realization that in order to make a difference in others, one must start with making a difference within themselves. And that's going to ultimately be the bulk of what I'm going to be talking about this evening. In order for you to be able to go forth and make a difference, let's take a look at ourselves and make sure that we are able, that we are eligible, that we are fervent for the Lord. That will be the key thing here. Fervent for God, being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? I want to bring to your attention right now a particular verse that has been circulating here at BCFC for a little while now. And it's not on purpose. It's just how the Lord puts this together. I promise you. I don't think it's coincidental that in men's meeting we just started studying the book of Revelations. In case you didn't know, if you're able to come by every first Saturday and third Saturday of the month, the men meet here at the church at 8 o'clock in the morning from 8 to 9:30, and we go and pick apart an entire book, right? And right now, we just started the book of Revelations. We're on the very first chapter of Revelations. Well, my opening verse and where I'm going to hinge my entire sermon this evening, I'm not sure if this is going to be a two-part sermon, but we'll see. We'll see where time takes us, is Revelations chapter 3. We are going to cover verses 15 and 17. Are we ready? Yep, there it is. Thank you very much. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I do wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know what you are, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, excuse me, and naked. Wow. Well, what an opening verse right now, huh? As far as making a difference. But you see how all of this is going to come together. Speaking of making a difference, we can relate to this verse if we look at the idea of cold and hot liquids. Okay? Right? We can relate to what we just finished reading when we think about those two elements. When it's hot outside, like how it is now, and you are out there mowing the grass with a push mower that's not motorized, right? Those wheeled ones that just, you know, they turn to spin the thing, you know, by motion. Ah, wow. Let's make it even interesting. Let's say you're out there cutting grass with a machete. Remembrance right now. Boy, when I was a kid, I can tell you some stories. With a machete about this big, you know, nobody could afford to buy a lawnmower. You go and you cut a branch from the tree that has an angle like this, right? So you have an upper piece here and it has an angle. So that way you're able to grab the grass, pull it, and then swing it. Pull and swing. Pull and swing. Ooh, your arm gets an exercise with that, right? But let's say you are outside working up a sweat, right? You know that a nice ice-cold glass of water or whatever your favorite beverage might be is going to cool you down, right? And it's going to cool you down inside, right? Basically, that's why you drink an ice-cold beverage. I like to stick with water. I love water. Love it. Okay, we could relate to that. How about when it's cold, right? Nothing warms you as well as, let's just say, a hot cup of chocolate, right? Or a hot cup of coffee. Or if you don't drink coffee, how about a cup of tea, right? What does that do? It warms you up outside, inside. Both elements have an effect of your inside. Either way, the liquid is to make a difference in how you feel, right? Both ways. And this is how we are able to relate to this text that we just finished reading as far as how it makes us feel inside. However, lukewarmness does not do that, does it? A lukewarm coffee? Even if it's hot outside, no thank you. And if it's cold outside, it might just make me a little bit grouchy, right? And come on, face it, you're going to be grouchy too. Like, what is this? Or if you're just coming out like how it is, like today was a little bit on the warm side, you don't want to drink nothing lukewarm, right? At least that's just me. Well, I think it's very much important for us to understand this concept right now of lukewarm Christianity. And I'm going to talk a lot about lukewarm Christianity in light of how you can make a difference in your world. Before you make a difference in your world, before you ought to go out there and, let's just say, conquer, be successful, and everything else in between, we must work ourselves. We must work out what's inside of us. The problem with being lukewarm is that everything appears to be fine on the outside, just okay. Lukewarm Christians, they have the appearance of being good moral people. And we figure that is a good thing or just good enough for God most of the time. But that is a very much false perception. Lukewarm Christians do not make a difference in the people around them as how God desires them to make a difference. Lukewarm Christianity have far too little impact on the lives of those who they come in contact with. And sure, they have good qualities. Sure, they have good morals. Absolutely, you might meet someone of the lukewarm faith, and they're great people, right? They might be great people. You might think the world of them. And maybe they feel good about themselves because of the good qualities that they might be even proud of. Let's just say wholly proud, right? That they might be okay with. The truth is that these people are not totally connected with God. There isn't a total devotion. They're not sold out. And this is the main thing that we are going to talk this evening. And I'm going to start out by saying that a lukewarm Christian loves God. Loves God. But the main difference is it is not first in their lives. And this is a key element right now that we all need to understand, that it's very important for us to make God first. This is a very early concept that I've learned as a child. I remember a couple sermons, and one in particular being preached in Portuguese, how the Lord only accepts the best, the first, the only, no additional. Without that, everything is irrelevant. Everything doesn't matter. And this is a concept that is for all of us, every single one of us. God has to be first in your life. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. You want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. You want to hear His voice. You want to see Him. You want to see, you want to have angelical visions. You want to visit heaven. You want to experience all the things, all the miracles, all the signs, and all the wonders. The very first thing is you have to put God first. And you want to do this God's way and not your own way and not how it works out for you. Sometimes they consider that only extreme Christians actually love God with all of their hearts. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands right now, but I hope that there is no one here in the audience that thinks or thinks of this extreme Christian. Oh, he's a radical. Or he's just an extremist. Or that's way too much. That doesn't work for me. I think that everything, I'm looking around and I think everyone here, we are all of the same mind, right? But there are some people who think that. They think that there's such a thing as extreme Christianity. And logically, they know that God should come first, of course, but they do not consistently place the Lord first in their hearts. And by all means, I should have said this, I should have added this to my notes in the beginning here in my opening introduction, but I do want to say that if anything that is mentioned here this evening applies to you, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open up your heart to understand and receive what the Word is saying. And ultimately, we can do something about it. And what is it that we should do something about it? First, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, right? That's the very first thing that we need to do. And everything else, all of His righteousness, right? I'll take that, Josh. Can I please have Matthew 6:33, please, real quick? But seek first the kingdom of God, the very first thing, and His righteousness. And everything else, all these things shall be in addition. Everything else will be added to you. Or be added unto you, like the King James, potentially. All these things. There is a process here. There's a process. The very first process that we ought to do is seek first the kingdom of God. You would like to make a difference? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You want to be involved in a business transaction. You want to make a big purchase. Or you're wondering whether or not you should go into business with a particular partner. Or whatever the case might be. You want to know if this is the person that you should marry, right? We inquire of the Lord first. If you should buy this house, you know, that's a major purchase. That's a massive purchase, right? Whatever the case might be, it is always wise when we seek first the Lord. You want to minister to someone who potentially might be impossible. Their attitude is horrible. Horrible. They could be a family member, and you just know how they are, but you don't know how to approach them. The best thing you can do, instead of just going out there and see what sticks, right? Let me throw something up and see if it's going to stick, is seek God first. Say, Lord, show me how I should do this. How should I go about it? And you know, not only is this a trait of, let's just say, respect, a trait that we can say is dependent on something, but it also speaks about love and how we love God and how we cherish what He thinks. We cherish His guidance, His way of doing things through us. May I please have Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus said to them, You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the perfect and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here, yes, we are to love one another. We are to love our fellow man. We are to love our neighbor, right? Even though we might not get along with them. But we need to love the Lord first. We need to put Him first, right? And not only just put Him first, give Him everything. All of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is a key component. This is the very first thing I want to say. Now, speaking of lukewarm Christianity, lukewarm Christians are not that religious. And sure, they know that serving God is important and everything, but they do not believe that making a spectacle of themselves to show how religious they are really matters. They want just enough religion, per se, to settle their conscience and basically to stay out of trouble. 2 Timothy 3:5 says these words as far as holding firm to godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, stay away. Turn away. Avoid. Right? Someone who puts on a facade. Someone who puts up a front. Oftentimes it's a terminology that we use. What's that cliche that goes... bad habits corrupts character? I think that's what it is, right? Did I say that right? It's something like that. It's along those lines. Bad habits destroys. Bad company destroys good character. Bad company destroys good character. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. But it was close, right? I think I got it somewhat close. You get the point that I'm trying to make. The verse once again, having a form of godliness, lukewarm Christians, but denying the true power that is available to you and I. Denying this power that we are able to raise people from the dead according to His perfect will. Denying the miraculous power that you are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. That even though you might walk through the shadow of the valley of death, that our God is going to be with you. That He is with you all the times. At all times, I should say. These are the people that we need to stay away from. You know, these folks that ultimately, they don't want nothing to do with all this extra stuff. Speaking of lukewarm Christians, they only pretend also to love others. In theory, such a concept of loving others sounds good, but they rarely do something for others unless they can get something out of it. Doing good for others is usually limited to just a few friends or family members, or perhaps when it's just simply convenient. Remember the words of Matthew 22, verses 39 and 40 that says for us to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? There we go. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if in case you want to kickstart it, if in case you want to get the ball rolling, ask the Lord, how can you use me? How can I be an influence, a positive influence, on the life of someone that's in need? How can I go about doing something that is going to bless your holy name? Right? And the Lord will show you. It's also important for us wanting to do things instead of just having good intentions. It's not just good enough for us to have good intentions and good thoughts and goodwill. Or someday I am going to witness to my neighbor. Someday I'm going to teach that person about the Bible, teach them what I know. Someday I will study the Bible like how I should. Someday I will begin to attend every single service. Someday I'm going to make the necessary sacrifices for my God. Someday, whenever it feels right, whenever the weather is cooperating, whenever it suits my schedule, let us not just have these good intentions. We are told to redeem our time and use it wisely, aren't we? I actually preached a whole sermon one time, just recently, about redeeming the times. It's very important for us to live every single day redeeming the time that was given to us. Every single day is a gift from God. Us living in the land of the living, every single moment that we live, God is allowing us to live. And it's very important because one day we're going to give account for the things that we did here on earth. But speaking of redeeming the time, let me bring to your attention Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days that you are living in right now, the days are evil. There's an importance right now for us to walk correctly, to walk and talk how the Lord wants you to. And it's very important for us to not just have intentions, have good intentions. I've mentioned this once in my sermon. What do they say the road to hell is? That's what I was looking for. It is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And we don't want to be caught up in that mix. Let us not just keep it here in our minds. Let us remove it from here and do it. And do what we need to do for God. Amen?
Amen.
I think I'm going to pause it right here. This has been about 30 minutes or so, maybe just past 30 minutes. Right? And I want all of us to hold on to this as much as you can. Right? We're going to continue this next Sunday evening. I'm going to talk also a little bit about the fire of God. Okay. I'm going to talk about zeal. I'm going to talk about your faith. I'm going to also talk about a different side of religion. People who depend upon their own selves. You know, all these things primarily relate to oneself. But if we look towards some of these things and we try to analyze our lives in these particular areas and correct and fix them, you could make a difference in your world. You could make that difference. And the Lord wants you to make that difference. He wants to use you. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word that we have here, Lord, to study and to read. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us. And ultimately, Lord, brings to our attention certain things, Lord, that we need to fix. The Holy Spirit, Lord, that speaks in our hearts. as a witness, Lord, towards certain things that we need to address. And I pray, Lord, that everyone listening to this message right now, Lord, will feel inclined to better themselves and to want to be used by you, Lord, here in your kingdom, the kingdom of God, your church, Lord, your body, to make a difference, Lord, in their world. Use us, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way. We all, Lord, want to be used by you because we love you. We love you, Lord, so much. Be glorified, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.